Okay, we are up to the beginning of Perek Hey. Perek Hey is a very exciting Perek. Someone asked me here to learn the Zecher, Le'ilu Nishmas from Shmuel ben of Zalman. Because I shouldn't have an Aliyah. Okay, we're going to start here with Perek Hey. Perek Hey is a very exciting Perek. It's about the handwriting on the wall. Possibly this is the most popular part of Sefer Daniel. I think everyone, there's a lot of artwork out there in the world depicting the handwriting, those words on the wall, and Belshazzar is frightened. So let's see what happened. Here is Pasuk Aleph. Belshazzar. Okay, Belshazzar. Who is Belshazzar? Who is Belshazzar? You need a Navi? Here's a Navi right here. Oh, that's the question. Who is Belshazzar? Well, one thing is clear. At this point in time, he is the king of Babel. Now, we know that the king of Babel, the first king of Babel was, that we know of, is Bil-Adan, Bil-Adan, Nebuchadnezzar's father. But that Gat Melech is not really counted among the kings of Babel, because Babel was not at that point in time a world power. It was just a regular nation, was not very significant. Biladan, Merodan, I forgot the exact name, Biladan, let's do it with that. And we learned about him in Sefer, Yeshaya, and discussed also Sefer Melachim, where after the miracle where the 185,000 soldiers of Sanherib died at the walls of Yerushalayim, he was extremely impressed about what has happened, and he sent letters to Nebuchadnezzar, to Chizkiyahu, if he can come and see, come talk to him about what has happened. And indeed, Chizkiyahu invited Bil-Adan to come to Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu became friends with this person, Bil-Adan, and he showed him all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. He showed him, introduced him to the queen, Chizkiyahu's wife, which was the daughter of Yeshaya. And then Yeshaya came and severely criticized Chizkiyahu for being so kind and gracious to this non-religious person, this king of Babel, Bil-Adan. And Yeshaya told him that as a punishment for what you have done, for opening up the Kodesh HaKodashim and showing the king of Babel the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth, the time will come years later where his son will conquer, or his descendant, it's not clear exactly, will come and conquer Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, exile Klal Yisrael, and take with him all of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So indeed that happened. Nebuchadnezzar, who was seemingly the son of Bil-Adan, came along and conquered Yerushalayim and took with him the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash to Babel. Now, at that point in time, a number of years before Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar rose to his esteem, increased. He conquered the kingdom of Ashur. At that point in time, at the time of Chizkiyahu, the world power, the superpower of the world was the king of Ashur. This was the world power, and when Nebuchadnezzar years later conquered Melech Ashur, Nebuchadnezzar assumed the role of the world, of the leader of what we call today the free world. It wasn't a free world then, though, at that point in time. They were dictators, but he became the world leader. And that's where the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar started, and this is recorded in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah says that for 70 years, there will be, 70 years there will be Golas. There are different calculations of 70 years, but there was a time period of the Malchus of Babel, which began with Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 45 years. After Nebuchadnezzar died, his son Evil-Merodach replaced him, took over, ascended the throne. Evil-Merodach ruled for 23 years, which brings us to a total of 68 years. And then after Evil-Merodach ruled for 23 years, Belshazzar ruled. Now there is a disagreement among the Rishonim who was Baal Shetzar. According to one opinion, Baal Shetzar was the son of Evil Merodach, which makes him the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And there are psukim and Mamore Chazal which make it indicate that he was the grandson. However, there are a number of psukim here in Daniel and other places in Tanakh which call Baal Shetzar the son of Nebuchadnezzar. So that could mean one of two things. Sometimes Bnei Banim are called Banim. Grandchildren are also called children. So even though really technically speaking Baal Shetzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, he is called the son. Some learn that no, Baal Shetzar was the brother of Evil Merodach. Nebuchadnezzar had at least two sons. One whose name was Evil Merodach. I guess that was the older son, the more prominent son. And when Nebuchadnezzar died, Evil Merodach took his place. And then, after Evil Merodach died, his brother Baal Shetzar assumed the throne. He did not last very long. He was only king for 3 years. And then they were conquered, and that's the story here, they were conquered by the nation of Modai. Modai at this point was in alliance with Paras, Persia, Parasu Modai, and together they conquered the Malchus of Babel. Babel was removed from being a world power and was now replaced by Modai and then by Paras. Together was alliance. We'll see more about that later on. Now the big mystery over here is if we're discussing here right away Baal Shetzar, we learned the first four parakim of Sefer Daniel discuss in great detail the Nebuchadnezzar. Described Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the dream of the statue, the gold, the silver, the copper, the iron, the cheres, and how Daniel interpreted the dream. Then we came years later, the next dream, the dream of the tree. And then we learned how Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, and then how his malchus was restored. And all of a sudden we're skipping, fast forward to the grandson, well, soon as the grandson, to Baal Shetzar. What happened to Evel Merodach? Why is there no record of Evel Merodach whatsoever here in Sefer Daniel? So the answer, there are a number of answers, because Evel Merodach is recorded in Sefer Melachim, where there's more of a chronicle of what happened in the history of the time. But how come here we jump from Perek Dalet of Nebuchadnezzar to his grandson, Baal Shetzar, and there's no mention of his death, there's no mention of what happened afterwards, nothing. So the answer, once on the answer, is that since this Sefer focuses on Daniel, that's the thrust of the topic of this Sefer, nothing happened with concerning Daniel that's important for us to know during the 23 years of the Evel Merodach, for one very simple reason, because Evel Merodach was friends Evel. Let's leave that. Nothing happened during that time period. During that time period, Daniel was not on the scene. Nothing significant happened during those years. So therefore, it's not important for us to know what happened during that time. Some of these issues will come to light as we go through the Psukim. But let's right away jump into the Psukim. Bel Shatzar Malko Avad L'cham Rav. Bel Shatzar, the king, he made a very large party. Lechem means bread, and since the ikur, the basic part, the staple of a party is bread, so we call the entire suda after the bread. Lerav rivonohi alaf. Lerav rivonohi means his leaders, his elders, his advisors, all of his chashuvim, the people of the government, alaf 1,000. The top 1,000 officials of the nation of Babel were invited to celebrate this, to be part of this party. Ulikavel alpa, and to correspond opposite these 1,000 people that were invited, Chamra Shosei Baal Shetzar drank wine. His drink was shakal, equal kineged, the drink of 1,000 people. Now, what does that mean? So some explain this is an exaggeration. It's not possible for one person to drink 1,000 cups of wine. Others say what it means is that he toasted each one individually. As each one of the guests arrived, so they came, they had to greet the king, Belshazzar. So Belshazzar picked up his coast and he may take a sip, a ti'ima sip. It doesn't mean that he actually drank a full revius of yayin, kineged each one of the 1,000 guests, but it means he made a l'chaim to each one, a toast to each one of the 1,000. He greeted each one personally, but it's obviously did drink an enormous amount of wine. He was able to hold his liquor. Okay, now, why was he making a party? So there's a Rashi and there's a Medrash. Let's read the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, let's jump down, let's read both Rashis. First Rashi points out, Belshazzar Malka, Bino Hoya, Molach L'achar Evel Merodach. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Rashi here is following the opinion that learns that Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, not the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Umolach liacher evil merodach, shemolach tachas Nebuchadnezzar, v'gam hoya b'no shel Nebuchadnezzar. So Rashi makes it very clear that his opinion is that Belshazzar was not a grandson, I think, which we're more familiar with that approach, that Belshazzar was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the son of evil merodach. No, he was another son of Nebuchadnezzar, a brother of Evel Merodach, and now he took the throne after 68 years. Nebuchadnezzar rose to world power. He conquered the king of Ashur 68 years ago, and now it's now in the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, 23 years of Evel Merodach, and now 2 years of Belshazzar. It's now the beginning of his third year. And what does he do? Rashi says, Avad lechem rav. He made a large feast. Also Suda Gedola, he made a very large feast. Why? On that very day, there was a war. There was an ongoing war between the nation of Madai and Paras against Babel. Babel's power was losing its grip of power. And there was a war. And that day was a very significant battle. And Babel, Belshazzar, won the battle. And they were celebrating their success. They prevailed in war. Ul Ervin in the evening. Asa Mishteh, they made a party. Kamosha Nibe Olav Yeshayahu. And this party was predicted, was prophesied by Yeshayah in Sefer Yeshayah. And what's the psukim there? Aroich Shulchan. Yeshayah said, you will arrange. And Yeshayah is speaking war. Yeshayah is speaking about 200 years, I'm not exactly sure, about 200 years before this party is when Yeshayah is speaking, approximately, and he's saying, Aroch HaShulchan, arrange the table, meaning make a party, Tzofa HaTzofis, and set guards on the gates of the city to see, to look out, to make sure no one is coming. The enemy is not coming, the warriors of Modai HaParas are not trying to attack. Echol V'Shasa, get up, eat and drink. Kumu HaSarim, and then suddenly the sun will get up. Shabitoi Chamishteh, Chozru Oivav, suddenly, in the middle of the party, there was a surprise attack, and Nebuchadnezzar, and Modai prevailed, Daryavish HaModai prevailed, and conquered, and wiped out the army of Belshazzar. Chozru Oivav, Nulchamu Al Hu'ir V'Lochtua, they regrouped, and they attacked. And that very night, the Malchus of Babel came to an end in a crushing defeat. And this was all taking place when they were celebrating. Belshazzar thought that he had succeeded. That morning there was a very important strategic battle which they won. And that indicated to Belshazzar that he is safe and secure. His Malchus is... And then suddenly there was a surprise attack and the whole Malchus came crumbling down in a very short period of time. And that happened the same night when the handwriting on the wall appeared, as we'll see soon. Okay, this is what it says here in Rashi. There's a very important Gemara. The Gemara says another reason why they made a party. Because it says in Sefer Yirmiyah that the Golus of Eretz Yisrael will only last for the Golus of the Jewish people will only last for 70 years. And this was a Nevuah. In those times, they took the words of the prophets very seriously. Yirmiyah said something, the whole world paid attention, and they knew it was MS that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baal Shetza was from the first to make a calculation of 70 years. And he assumed that the 70 years started with the rise of his grandfather or father, Nebuchadnezzar. It was now exactly, in his calculation, 70 years. 45 years since Nebuchadnezzar came to power, meaning the power we mean referring to conquering the other world, the previous world power of Ashur, 23 years of Evel Merodach, and now it was the end of 2 years of his reign, for a grand total of 70 years, and Klal Yisrael are going nowhere. Absolutely nothing has changed for Klal Yisrael. They're in Golis, Eretz Yisrael is desolate, they're living in Golis, they're on the low, nothing special has happened. So he sees that the prophecy of Yirmiyah is either a lie, or it is batel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rescinded the prophecy, and there will not be a gula. So he's coming here to celebrate. He's coming to celebrate the fall, the downfall of the Jewish people, the fact that there is no hope. Now this was a mistake, Chazal tell us, for two reasons. Number one, it wasn't even really 70 years. Even in his calculation, it was only 69 years. Because the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar were not complete years. It was really 44 and change. And the 23 years of Evel Merodach were not 23 complete years. It was only 22 and change. And his 2 years were also not necessarily 2 complete years. So if you really want to make a calendar date from day to day, it was only something like 69 years. So there wasn't even a token fulfillment of a 70, because the truth is, this is very interesting, even though he made a mistake, it was not a total mistake. It was definitely true, this is as discussed in the Gemara, we're going to learn there were a lot of mistakes were made by many people. There was a mistake made by Baal Shetzar, there was a calculation made by Achashverosh, there was a calculation that was made even by Daniel, who made a calculation of 70 years. We'll get to those calculations at a later point in time, Yirtzeh Hashem. All of those calculations were mistaken. Even Daniel made a mistake in calculating 70 years. But even though there was a mistake in the years, but there was some truth to what the calculation was all about. Because a year later, when Daryovish HaModai took over, and then Daryovish HaModai's malchus only lasted for one. By now, Daryovish HaModai came to power. His malchus only lasted for 1 year. In a year from now, Koresh would assume the malchus, and he right away said, "The Jewish people, I'm giving you permission to return to Eretz Yisrael." So that means that when Koresh issued his proclamation that Bnei Yisrael are allowed to return and go back to Eretz Yisrael, it was exactly 70 years from the time Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. So the truth was, there was some truth in that calculation of when Nebuchadnezzar would rise to power. It was not the complete, it was a degree of truth, a degree of truth, but the full pekida where they would be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that was to be interpreted in other ways, from the time of the actual Churban Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, Baal Shetzar did make a calculation of 70 years, so the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, his calculation was so, but he mistakenly believed that it was exactly 70 years, and nothing has happened, and therefore he was coming to celebrate, and that's why we're going to see soon that he took out the keil of the Beis HaMikdash in disrespect to show, I have nothing to worry about, the Jews are not going to return, and the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be rebuilt, and I can even use the holy keil of the Beis HaMikdash for my own personal needs, I can use it to rejoice a part of the Suda.
Bubble
was destroyed that night. So he's saying in that respect it was true. There are many layers of truth to the 70 years in Echanami. But it wasn't the full picture of Pekida. It's also very interesting. This is a very delicate point which you have to think about. Let me start off with an example. Today, when you think about, let's say, the President of the United States, he wants to issue a Hanukkah statement. He wants to wish all of the Jews all over the world a happy Hanukkah. So he issues a proclamation, a press release, a letter. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the things that are written in the Hanukkah proclamation are very accurate. They're very good. It's as if a Haredi rabbi wrote it for him, checked it over, and it's pretty good. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever the holiday is, because the President of the United States, when he's going to wish everyone, all the Jews in the country, Happy Hanukkah, he does his homework. and he asks his best advisors to find out what is Hanukkah all about on a religious level, which I will not insult anyone, not the religious and not the irreligious, and make sure everything is accurate, is on the mark. So here's the very question. Klal Yisrael Yirmiyah predicted that it will be godless for 70 years. So in our minds, if you ask me, on a very similar level, what does that mean, godless for 70 years, from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Isn't that the way you would assume? So now, the whole world is aware that there is a nevuah that is going to be godless for 70 years, and now it's not yet 70 years, it's almost like 52 years, sometime the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and Baal Shetzar is 100% confident that the 70 years have come to an end. Don't you think Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, would have done his homework and would have asked the people, his advisors, to find out among the Jewish people what 70 years likely means? 70 years likely means from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And it's only 52 years, it's not yet 70 years. So why is he making this celebration? He's making a foolish calculation. So the answer has to be is that when he did his homework, this is the result of what the common belief of the Jewish people was. We think today, in retrospect, that the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that was the beginning of Golus. But the truth was, if you're living at the time, the Churban Beis HaMikdash was really just the last Makeh B'Patish. When Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, the whole mindset of Klal Yisrael was so severely diminished. It was such pachat that the Churban was imminent, and there was so much fighting was going on, and there were so many tzaris. The Churban of the Mikdash itself was not a major factor in the big picture of things. Even the common man in Klal Yisrael, the common person in Klal Yisrael, if you'd ask him, when did the Churban begin? When did the Golus begin? So today, and taken today, you would say, well, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because that's how we've been raised. We didn't live through the time. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that's the Churban. Not necessarily. If you were living through the times, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was irrelevant. The Churban really began when the Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. When he rose to power, everything changed. We're missing history. We don't have a flavor of history to appreciate how on that day, when he conquered Ashur, and this Rasha Merusha, Nebuchadnezzar, who was a tyrant like there was none other, the whole world was different. Klal Yisrael felt already that the Golus began. So the common belief among the ordinary person Klal Yisrael was, when did the Churban begin? When would the Golus of Yirmiyah begin? The time the Nebuchadnezzar rose. It wasn't a foolish calculation. Okay, we can look back now, because since we know that the Mikdash was not rebuilt until 70 years, the Golus did not really end until 70 years since the Churban. So we look back now, we make that calculation, because we don't see the big picture, we don't have the flavor of what it was really like during that time. Yeah.
Josephus.
Yes, it is. So he records, he was from the early historians, and he records that this took place the night when there was a battle. It was known in their chronicles. There was a battle that took place against Modai, and he won, and now they're coming to Sabbath. So that's one important point, that it's not a foolish thing. Just like today, we see our own eyes when politicians who are completely irreligious, when they try to talk religion, they do their homework and they know what they're talking about. It's pretty much on the mark. Belshazzar was no different. The public opinion was the Golus began with the rise of the Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore there was reason to celebrate 70 years since the Nebuchadnezzar came to power. We learned later on, after Achamaisa, that the Churban really did not start until the Beis HaMikdash was, because as long as the Beis HaMikdash was present and the Shechina was there, there was always hope for Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, we failed to appreciate that until it was already too late. But the Shechina was still there. There was still some potential present. Okay, let's go for it. No, it doesn't. That was the whole difficulty. It just says 70 years. All it says, they'll be in goals for 70 years. And And that's why it was a mystery to Belshazzar, to Achashverosh, to Daniel, and to the people of the time. People of the time, they were the advisors to these people, and they all made this mistake. Okay, let's go further. Belshazzar, Pasuk Beis. Belshazzar, Omar B'teim Chamra, he said in a, B'teim means in a drunken state, in a state of stupor. Chamra means wine. In this context, it means he's drunk. B'teim means he lost his mind. His mind was loose because he was intoxicated, in an intoxicated state. Lehay soyot bring limonei dehava, the utensils of gold, the chaspa silver, the hanpek which were removed, Nevuchadnezzar avuhi, his father. So you see Rashi over here, that's why Rashi previously in the Paschal says who was Belshazzar, he was the son of Nevuchadnezzar, because it says here very clearly Nevuchadnezzar, his father. The simple literal translation of the Pesukim indicate that Belshazzar was the son of Nevuchadnezzar, not the son of Evel Merodach, min hechla, which he took out of the Hechel of the Hechel is the sanctuary Yerushalem of Yerushalayim. Now he's insulting Hashem. We'll see, just to keep in mind, it does not say, all it says here is that his father Nebuchadnezzar removed the Kelim from the Hechel. Does not call the Hechel the base Hashem. We're going to have this pasuk, or the phrase of this pasuk, repeated very soon, and there we're going to add at least two more words where the Hechel is called the base Hashem, the home of Hashem. Hashem's abode on this world. Here, Belshazzar is insulting Hashem. Hashem is not a god, because look, 70 years have passed, nothing has happened, his people are beginning to assimilate, and there's no hope for them, nothing will ever become the Jewish people once again, so it must be that there really is no god, it's really not his bias, and he just calls it his sanctuary, but it's not Hashem's bias. The Yishtoin Behon, he gave the command that people should drink. Now what's very strange is these utensils were not meant for drinking. These utensils were meant to collect blood. The gold and silver utensils, the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have any record that there were gold and silver utensils, the Beis HaMikdash, that were used for drinking. All of the gold and silver utensils that were used to collect blood from the korbanos. They were used to prepare minochos, oil and flour and mayim for nisa chayayim. There were no gold and silver utensils designated in the Beis HaMikdash for people to drink. Here he's taking these utensils and he's being mazed them by using it for drinking. The Yishtoin Behon Malka, and he commanded that the king himself and the Rav Rivo Nahi and his colleagues, all of the leaders, the great people, Lashon of Rav, all of the great people of his country, shall drink with them, including Sheglosei means his wife, the queen. This is a term which refers to the queen. Ulechenosei and his plakshim, his concubines, they should drink from these gold and silver utensils. Pasagimel, they die in then. Haisiv, it was brought monei dehava, the gold utensils. Di hanpiku, now notice here it only says the gold. Even though he gave the command the gold and silver shall be taken out, it was not necessary because there were so many gold utensils, they didn't even get up to the silver. Everything already happened when they were bringing out the gold utensils. Di hanpiku, which were taken out, min hechla. Now notice here it says that that moment in time when the command was given, it was brought out, the gold utensils, di hanpiku, which were removed, min hechla. And here we add three more words. What is the hechel? The hechel is di beis eloka. The Hechel is the bias of Hashem. In the previous pasuk, when he gave the command, he did not add these three words because he wanted to insult HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you no longer have a bias. But here when we are recording what happened, Belshazzar is not speaking. It's a record written by Daniel, so it's written with respect of the Hechel is the bias of Hashem. Div Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, the Ishtiv Behoin, and they drank from it, Malko, the king, the Rav Rivo Nohi, and his colleagues, the great people of the country, Sheglosei, his wife, Ulechenosei, and his Pilakshim. Some learn that the Shegel is a word which means relations between man and a woman. That's it's a modern Hebrew word, and the Kama Shama means so someone learned that the word Sheglase refers to a dog, that he had a dog which he had relations with, and this dog was beloved to him as if it was his wife, and this dog sat by his side. He was a disgusting person. Okay, so then it says over here, at this moment in time, what?
That word isn't a type of word.
And you change it, and you don't say because it's something. It's an explicit word. It's not a proper word to say literally. So therefore, Chazal gave us the instruction that when it's read, you don't say the exact word. You say a kinui, a word which captures its essence, but not the explicit word. Okay, ishtiv chamra. They began to drink wine. Vishabahu le lokei, and then as they were drinking wine, they began to praise the gods, all of the gods. There was no discrimination. They did not discriminate when it came to the worship of idols. Vishabahu, they praise le lokei, the gods, the hava of gold, the chaspa, silver, nechasha, copper, farzala, iron, is wood. Okay, that's the targum, that's an unusual word. We don't have that word too many times, but that's it refers o'o. Is the targum for eight wood? They were idols made from wood, the avno and stone. So they began. They brought the candle base on Migdash, and they began to drink. Now there's a medrash. There's one more medrash. I left out one important medrash. When did this nice take place? Another ancient thing. Well, this took place the night of Pesach, according to the medrash. A lot of things happened. Many, many things in Tanakh happened below Pesach, and many of them alluded to in the piyut that some say. After the Seder in Nirtza. And what's the significance? What happened? What was done the night of Pesach, the first night of Pesach, after Pesach was over? You prepare the Omer. The Omer is offered the first day Chol Hamoed. The first day Chol Hamoed, we bring in the Beis HaMikdash, the Omer, and then we begin to count the Seder 50 days from that day forward till Shavuos. How do you prepare the Omer? You prepare the Omer by sifting the flour, the Mishnah says, in 13 sieves. 13 times. I'm sure there's Kabbalistic significance in this, whatever it is, but you sieve it 13 times. So Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar was very aware of all of the customs of the Jews. After all, that's why he was making this party to celebrate the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And he knew that on this night, it was the first day of Pesach, and the party seemingly took place either the night of Pesach or maybe the next night, Mitzoy Pesach, and the time when the Jewish would normally have prepared the flour for the Omer, the barley for the Minchas Omer, through 13 sieves. So he said, I'm going to do better. I'm going to make a party. I'm going to invite all of the world leaders, the dignitaries, to my party, and we're going to have bread, and the bread's going to be processed through 14 sieves. One more than they do in the Beis HaMikdash. To mock the Jewish people, you on this night would get ready to prepare the Omer for the Mincha with 13 sieves. You're not going anywhere. The Jewish people, you've been destroyed. It's all over for you. I'm going to mock you. I'm going to make a Sudas Lechem, and I'm going to prepare the bread with 14 sieves. And that is why in Pasuk Aleph, this party is called Lechem Rav. A very unusual expression for a mishteh. We have in Megillas Esther that Achashverosh made a mishteh yayin. Here it's called lechem rav, bread, not yayin, because he was mocking the omer that was prepared in 13 sieves. He made it from 14 sieves, and then it also tells us when the party took place. It took place Mitzoy Pesach, the night after, seemingly the night after Pesach. Okay, let's go further. Now, one other thing I left out is, this is what I meant to tell you in the beginning, why did we leave out Evel Merodach? We went straight from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar. So I had similar reasons, because there's nothing here that happened with regard to Daniel. The whole Sefer focuses on the Chochmah and the Ruach HaKodesh of Daniel, his contribution, what he did for Klal Yisrael, and there's nothing significant that happened during those 23 years of Evel Merodach, so he's left out. But there's a Medrash. And the Medrash says, because Evel Merodach was not such a bad guy. Edel Merodach was a good guy. In fact, he let Yehoyachin, he released him from prison. Yehoyachin was taken captive, he was in jail, and the moment when Nebuchadnezzar died, on that day, Edel Merodach released Yehoyachin from prison, from the dungeon, and gave him a stipend, and supported him until he died. And Edel Merodach also appears was a colleague of Daniel, because the Medrash says that Daniel was the one who gave him advice when Nebuchadnezzar died to take Nebuchadnezzar's body out of the grave and drag it through the streets and stab it. Because we remember, we learned in the previous parak that when Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his mind for 7 years. He behaved like an animal. He crawled on all four and did strange things for 7 years. And then suddenly after 7 years, Hashem restored his intellect. He came back to Malchus. He came back. Now he finished out his 45 years of serving as the Melech, and supposedly he died. But in ancient times, they had no proof that he died. There are people still saying that Bin Laden's alive. There are always people have conspiracies. So here Nebuchadnezzar died. That was the headline on the papers. But people didn't believe that he died. So Daniel was very friendly with Edel Merodach and gave him advice: take the body of your father Nebuchadnezzar, take it out of the grave, drag it in the streets, and stab it in public to show the world he's really dead, and to show the world that you're not going to behave like your father. Father was a tyrant, he was a Rasha, he tortured everyone in the world. You're not going to behave like this, you're going to be a kinder, gentler king. And from this medrash, we do learn that there was some type of friendship between Daniel and Merodach, which means Edel Merodach was not so bad. I don't know the details, if you call him a tzaddik, but he wasn't so bad. Therefore, the pasuk wants to match a Rasha to a Rasha. Belshazzar was a Rasha. Nebuchadnezzar, it goes without saying, was a Rasha. We learned yesterday, even though yesterday he did come to the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam, Kadosh Baruch Hu can humble Mashbel Gaim, we learned yesterday Hashem rejected his praise because he didn't do tshuva. Good, he came to the realization, but he did not do anything with that realization to do tshuva, charata ala avar, and to do tshuva, to go forward. He didn't do anything. He was a Rasha. And the grandson was a Rasha. So the pasuk wants to juxtapose one Rasha to another Rasha. Let me read you the Medrash. The views of the Medrash. Say, hey, Chanhu, Evel, this is a membranous Rava. What happened to Evel Merodach? Why do we jump a parak Dalet from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar? Where is Evel Merodach? So the Medrash answers, Rabbi Eliezer Omar, Kelismach Rasha El Rasha. We want to be Samech one Rasha next to the next Rasha, indicating that Evel Merodach was not a Rasha. Answer number two, Koitzeitz. We want to juxtapose a thorn, l'koitzeitz. They were both thorns. Another expression of a person of Rishoyim. Gaveson l'gaveson. Arrogant. We want to juxtapose arrogance to arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar were both extremely arrogant. And we want to put the two together. And one more thing it gives, we want to also juxtapose two different kings, which their malchus was cut short. Nebuchadnezzar did not enjoy the full malchus that was meant. 7 of those years were removed. So his malchus was diminished during those 7 years. Even though when he did get the malchus restored, he was even greater than it was originally, but still 7 years of his life were wasted. Belshazzar's malchus was terminated prematurely. Only after 2 years, in the beginning of the 3rd year, his malchus was terminated. So we want to juxtapose two kings whose malchus was terminated. Evel Merodach had his 23 years. This was meant to be from time of creation. He got what he got. That's a very great accomplishment for a person to actually live out what was meant to be for that person and not to be mekalkel, not to ruin it. Okay, that's quite a feat. Not to, when a person comes into this world as a mazel, there's certain things that are meant to be for you. So a person can change the mazel, can get even more. If you do Hashem's Ratzon, there's no mazel for Yisrael. You can do more than you was meant to get. But unfortunately, if a person sins, he can forfeit, he can lose what was meant to be. It's quite a feat to live out your life and not ruin the mazel, and not ruin things that were meant to be originally. Okay, so that's why these are two are juxtaposed. Let's go further. Let's do one more pasuk. So over here, pasuk dalid ishtev hamra. So they drank wine. They praised their gods of all different types of materials. Pasuk hey, suddenly bashata at that time. Nifak. Now one other thing I want to point out before I go to this pasuk, that the Chazal they're very disturbed with this party. Okay, for us it's very hard for us to relate to this. Is that there's a very big difference between the party of Baal Shetzar and the party of Achashverosh. By the party of Achashverosh, there was separate seating. V'gam v'ashti also nishtei noshin. Men were separate and women were separate. So the Chazal tell us that even among the Goyim, when they had parties where they got drunk, a party to drink, they knew it's not a good idea to mix the men. There was a certain degree of discipline that you don't mix men and women. Okay, of course, obviously they did mix men and women, but when it comes to parties of drinking, Achashverosh and the men had their liquor party. V'gam v'ashti osisa mishtei noshim. Here, Baal Shetzar was a lowlife, and they mixed. He broke the norms of society, and he mixed together men and women. That's what it says in the previous passage, that he gave the command to bring out the kelim, the Beis, who should drink from it, everyone together. The men, all of the noblemen, and his wife, and the pilakshim, the men and women together should drink, should participate in this party of drinking wine, which Chazal find to be a very great pirtza, breach in the standards of modesty, even for the goyim at that time in the world. So it's a very, very interesting chazal. Okay, now, so what happened at that party? Yeah?
Vashti also held herself much higher than Israel, so she made her own party.
It's another reason. Okay, ayin panam mutar. But this is a mamsha chazal. They take note, they contrast, and they say Baal Shetzar was a much morally corrupt person, more so than Achashverosh. Okay, pasuk. Hey, so what happened over here? Beishata at that moment in time. This one moment pasuk, because this really opens up the entire story. At that moment in time, nifaka, it came out of heaven. It's on the fingers, di ena enosh, of a human hand. It looked just like the fingers of a human being. V'chosvan, and it began to write. Lekovel Nev Rash. Nev Rash is a very hard word to translate. Rashi translated it as a menorah. It's a sugya to itself. It's a menorah. There's a candelabra. That doesn't seem to be the candelabra from the Beis HaMikdash that was taken, that was captured and brought down to Bavel. It simply means there was an elaborate candelabra that was on a table, and on the wall opposite this candelabra, the handwriting, there was a hand with fingers, and began to write words. That's the reason why it was written near the candles, was because everyone should see. There was a lot of light. It was like a flash of light in that area. If it was just written on a wall in a dark corner, no one would take notice. Since there was a lot of light, there was a lot of illumination, everyone can see what was going on. The chasvan, it was written, l'kavel nevrash, opposite the menorah, al gira, on a white, on chalk. Gira is chalk, meaning white. It was black script, black ink on a white background, which means it's clear as day. If the wall was a color wall, it was a green wall, a red wall, or some decorated wall, and someone just scribbled with some markers on the wall, you would not necessarily notice. You'll say it's all part of the design, all part of the artwork. But it was a clear, simple patch of gira, of plaster, di chesal hechla, of the wall of the hechel, di malka, of the king. So here we have, suddenly, we have a hand coming out of heaven, and there are fingers, like human fingers, and it begins to write on the wall, in the area opposite the menorah. There's a lot of light, the wall is white plaster, and the palace of the king, umalko chose. It was only the king who saw the pas yoda, the palm of the hand, di chosva, as it actually wrote the letters. And the first one explained that everyone saw the final result. Everyone saw Everyone saw the words on the wall. Everyone, in fact, passed and saw the ink being applied, the words being written. But the only one that saw the hand actually writing was the Melech. So he knew that, and he asked him, "Do you see the hand?" "No, we don't see the hand. All we see is letters suddenly appearing. But we don't see a hand writing. I see the hand." So the king knew that if he sees the hand, it must be that this was a special private message meant for him alone. And he was terrified. Chazal, even though he did not know what was going on, he knew his mazel, instinct knew that there's something going on over here, something is a bad omen, something terrible is happening, and he did not know what this is. Let's read this pasuk one more time, and we'll just stop it. We'll tell him one short word, Beishat, one more time, we'll read hard words. Beishat at that time, as they were drinking from the camel of Beis HaMikdash, Nifaka, it came out, Etzba'on, fingers, Diyad Enosh, that resemble the fingers of a human being, V'chosvan, it began to write, Lekavel Nev Rashta, right opposite a candelabra, Al Gira, on a white chalk. Where was this white patch of chalk, which means that the black against the white was very clear? Di chesal of the wall, hechla of the palace, di malka of the king, umalka chaze, and the king indeed saw pas yodo, pas means the palm of yodo, the hand, di chosva, which began to write. Now let me say one word, we'll stop. Is why is that? This obviously is the words that are going to be written on the wall are going to indicate that the malchus of Babel is now going to come to an end. Okay, we'll read the words, we'll have the words in a few pasukim, we have the exact words, we'll discuss it in much more detail, but the basic gist of the message was Balshetzar, it's curtains, it's all over. The Malchus is hereby overfinished. Why was the end of the Malchus revealed through the writing on through the hand, the writing on the wall? So some of the Farshim explain that this goes back to the previous parak, the previous parak base, where the Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of the statue, and the statue it was made from different types of metal. The head was made from gold. You, Nebuchadnezzar, the Hava, you're the head. And then comes the shoulders and the arm. The shoulders and the arm refer to, they were made from silver. That's going to be the next Malchus. And who does that belong to? Paras Umadai. And some of the Farshim say that's why it's the arms, because there are two arms. And there's an alliance between two nations that are going to conquer Babel, Modai Uparas. Then it came the lower part of the body, which was copper, that refers to Yavan. And then the legs refers to Edom with Yishmael. There are two legs, so one is Edom and one is Yishmael. The legs, which have mixed with, made from iron, mixed with a little bit of pottery. But the arms correspond to Paras Umadai. What's the edge of the arms? The fingers. The arms, the koich of the arms are the yad. The extreme part of the arm is the hand. So since at this moment in time, the Malchus would make the transition from the head to the arms, the head is Bavel, the arms is Paras Umadai, we're now making that transition. The transition is being indicated with the actual arms, which the extreme part, the koach of the arm, comes out in the fingers of the arm. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about the transition, the sign that it's happening with a part of the arm, which are the fingers. Okay, so we'll stop here, we'll pick this up. Yeah.
Why is this so-called serious message associated with a drinking party? Why the association?
Why the association with
this happening?
Well, here he's at the height of his gaiva. Here he is coming to mock.
In other words, he's taking him from a high down to a low?
Yeah. Just like the Nebuchadnezzar in the previous parak, was walking through his city, and he reached the ultimate state of gaiva, Adam Elo Elyon. We learned in Sefer Yeshayah where Nebuchadnezzar said about himself, "I will be similar to Hashem, Adam Elo Elyon. I'm like God. Look what I have accomplished. I've built this country. I've conquered the world. I'm successful. I'm God." Hashem says, "You know, God, you are nothing." The koyach Hashem ato chonin la'odam das. I give intellect to man. I'll take away your intellect. You are nothing. Hashem took away. So in Echnami, it's a humbling point in time.